Welcome to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times. We are recording live at Limud, New York. So the question was, we've resolved so many other issues. Why is it the issue of the Agunah and the get still an issue?
Let me maybe take the work around the get question, because it is a heavy question, but I think it's important. And on some level, less to answer it directly and more to reflect on what almost I think you're really asking, which is, why is this an anomaly in what seems like it's such a rich and fruitful tradition of whether it's workaround or creativity? So a couple things. The first is, you know, I think it's important to remember the Agunah problem is old, but the severity with which we feel the shock and horror of patriarchal power in that way is relatively new. In that sense, I think the last push of horror around the Agunah issue is really 1960s and later. That is to say, this was a problem that I think was once understood as a maybe tragic consequence or corollary of a fundamentally patriarchal system, but that no one really undermined and questioned at its root. Like, well, yeah, of course the man proposes to the woman and she accepts, and of course he wields more power and influence in the relationship, but it's the job of good Jewish husbands and good male poskim to find benevolent ways to ease the pain of those who are potentially marginal, disempowered, etc. I think the last wave of where people feel like this just cannot go on is a sense of that frame of a sort of like noblesse oblige patriarchy is like that's gone. That's like that is insufficient. And therefore the actual kind of hardwiring of the whole thing where how could it be the man has that power in the first place is what is now unintelligible, and I even hear it kind of lurking in your question as you asked it. So that's, first of all, simply by way of saying, actually, in a way, this is a new question from the angle I think you're asking it, and in a way, I think, we don't yet know what the results are going to be on the front of the workarounds. There are a lot of people that are working on this now from that new frame of urgency that it is far from clear what will come from it, but I'm not yet prepared to say that actually we've seen the end of that story. Even you think about the new court to free Agunot that Rabbi Simcha Krauss here in the United States has been involved with, and other initiatives, particularly within the Orthodox community, I think are taking some steps with a higher level of urgency than has been in the past. And obviously, in the context of other movements in American Jewish life, there have been much more bold steps. You know, at the end of the day, in the context of the conservative movement, at the end of the day, the rabbinical assembly will retroactively annul a marriage like that, which then their Orthodox counterparts will see as an invalid move that doesn't actually undo the marriage. But if a conservative rabbi did the wedding to begin with, then they're good because they'll just invalidate the marriage from the inception. So either way, you're kind of safe. But there have been some who I think have crossed that Rubicon and just said, well, maybe we retain some ceremonial notion where the man gives the woman the get, but at the end of the day, we will never really let someone be stuck. Now, I think what that raises the question is, though, all right, let's say maybe some groups feel they've basically addressed this, at least on the sort of bottom line pain issue. And I would say the other thing that's been a major development in Orthodoxy, which has been tested a couple times in the courts, but is not yet, we'll have to wait a generation for this to play out, is things like the prenuptial agreement that the RCA increasingly encourages its members to adopt. That may hold out the promise that there will be significantly fewer cases of agunot, because if that becomes a standard de rigueur practice, it effectively empowers the legal system here in the United States to be a binding arbiter, to have the court of the Rabbinical Council of America be a binding arbiter under United States law to penalize the husband significantly with financial penalties if he refuses to give the get. But I do want to say I think there's another element here, which is, this is where it's always complicated. I think the get issue at the end of the day, yeah, on some level you ask anyone, do they want to have an agunah? The answer is always no. But that doesn't mean they're not actually deeply, deeply nervous about undoing marriages without a divorce, as it's been traditionally understood. and deeply nervous about what it means to actually take that power away from men. That is to say, I think there are a lot of people who, they wouldn't say it publicly. They might not even be able to say it to themselves. But deep down, they may not have necessarily moved off of that paradigm, where fundamentally the man wields a certain kind of authority in that relationship. And it doesn't mean I want to oppress the woman, but I'm not necessarily ready to move to a complete contract marriage model of two equals who form and dissolve marriages at will. That is to say, I think one of the problems with the get question is we don't yet have developed in robust form in any pocket of the Jewish world a halachic manifestation of contract marriage. We don't actually have anyone who's really formulated. You have people here and there who have imagined, could you have marriage without kiddushin? Could you have marriage that's some kind of sacred bond, but which doesn't involve one person actually having some kind of deep hold over the other? And not everyone who wants to solve the aguna problem necessarily wants complete no-fault contract marriage. I think actually part of the anxiety around this is a lot of Jews are searching for some kind of in-between space where, well, you do kind of have some rights over me, and I don't get to just walk away, but they shouldn't be completely unreasonable and abusable rights. But I don't know that we've yet actually gotten to the place where anyone has really robustly formulated that. Those are some initial thoughts of why that is. I guess it's a combination of like hope for where we may go with that, and on some level confidence that if you wanted to, if you were really motivated in that direction, there are, I think, I don't know if I'd say workarounds, but there are ways of reconceiving of the mechanism of the formulation and then the release of the marriage that could lead you to more creative places. But I don't know that everyone's on the same page of where they want to go on that. And that, I think, is part of the problem we have to acknowledge.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone for coming.
Responsa Radio is a project of the Center for Jewish Law and Values at Machon Hadar and is produced by Jewish Public Media, which creates, curates, and promotes excellent Jewish content and is funded in part by Next and Natan. If you have a halachic question you'd like answered on the show, email us at halacha@machonhadar.org. You can also leave us a voicemail at 215-297-4254.
Let me go, she said. Let me go, she said. Let me go, she said. Let